Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I want to start the broadcast by simply reminding you that I have been enthusiastically wading into the waters of social media. So I'm getting more and more involved. I dipped my finger in the water. I found that it was quite warm to the touch. Now I think I'm submerged. I'm swimming in the waters of social media. But I want you to know exactly where you can find me. The very best place to stay up to date is by going to the Bible Answer Man Facebook page and then giving it what's called a like. Now, you probably already know that, but that to me is new information. So again, the best place to stay up to date is by going to the Bible Answer Man broadcast Facebook page and giving it, whatever this is, a like. Somehow or other, that enhances what we do. It's a way by which you can support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. More importantly, I want to say a little something about the National Day of Prayer. And I did do a Facebook post on prayer. Again, the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. You'll find that post there. And the quote of the day today is on prayer. In fact, it is on a prayer that means as much to me as any other prayer. I'm going to try to get through that prayer when I do the quote of the day without losing it. That's coming up in the third segment of the broadcast today. But let's talk for just a moment about the day of prayer. You can look all the way back to 1775, where the First Continental Congress called for a national day of prayer. And then one of my favorite marks in history, 1683, Abraham Lincoln calling for such a day. Then 1952, where Congress establishes the National Day of Prayer as an annual event. And it was, of course, signed into law by President Truman. 1988, the law was amended, signed by President Reagan, and he designated the National Day of Prayer as the first Thursday in May, which is, of course, today. But I want to go back to what Abraham Lincoln said. This is the president. It is a proclamation number 97, calling for a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. Again, the proclamation by the president of the United States of America, Abraham Lincoln. And I can't go through the whole thing because it would take far too much time. But let me give you just a taste of it. Second paragraph of the proclamation, Lincoln says, "Whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, and yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." Later on, says Lincoln, "We've grown in numbers, in wealth, in power, as no other nation has ever grown, but We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace, which multiplied, which enriched and strengthened us. And we vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own, intoxicated with unbroken success. We have become far too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. Again, the proclamation on the 30th day of March, 1863, Abraham Lincoln. Indeed, prayer is enormously significant. I clue you in a little bit on what I do in my own prayer life as I prepare for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, you'll find that on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. You can like it if it is meaningful to you. Remember, the number to dial is always to get your questions answered live on the broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But I'm going to start out the broadcast today with some of the Facebook questions that are rolling in one after another. I mean, first there were 10, and then there were 20, and then there were 30, and then there were over 50, and they keep coming in. And so I want to give a real shout out to those people that are asking questions on our Facebook page. We will go to our live questions in just a few moments as well. 888-ASK-HANK. First question, and I'm again just going in order as they come along. And this one is from Debbie, and she is asking how to explain to someone that even though God loves everyone, He chose Jesus as the only way to heaven, and why everyone might be nice, but if they don't know Jesus, they may not go to heaven. And she wants this explained, she says, in a way that, well, young people can understand. Well, let me try to do that. I think the first thing I want to say, Debbie, is that it is not the absence of knowledge that damns. It is the despising of knowledge that damns. And what I like to tell people, and I've done that many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, whether you're a child or an older person or middle-aged doesn't really matter. You can see the sun, the moon, and the stars. I was walking with my 13-year-old not all that long ago and looking at the sky. And when you look at the sky, you immediately know something. You may not express it verbally, but you know it intuitively. There is a God. And that is just ratified by something else. The light of creation is augmented by the light of conscience, God's knowledge written upon the tablet of our consciousness. In other words, it's in our DNA. It's part of the warp and woof of which we consist. So we know about God from without and also from within. So what is our obligation as human beings? It is to respond to that light. And if we do, the Lord who knit us together in our mother's womb will lead us into more light. Now, obviously in the Old Testament, Abraham, though he is the father of faith, did not have the kind of light that you and I do. But yet he was a friend of God because he followed the light he had. That light ultimately exploding in a chorus of anthems as the angels beheld the incarnate Christ. So we now look back at that, and we have the opportunity to know Christ and the opportunity for Christ to become more real to us than the very flesh upon our bones. Julie is next up with a Facebook question. Thanks so much, Hank, for this opportunity. It's probably impossible to think of a question you haven't already been given and answered, but here goes anywhere. By the way, that's not true. Virtually every day I come into the studio, I get some question that I haven't been asked before, or some question that causes me to ruminate or think or study to show myself approved, and on it goes. The more you know, the more you realize how very little you know. Julie goes on to say, sometimes when reading the Bible, it refers to a book that isn't in the Bible. What as Christians should we do with that? Try to find those books and read them? Well, Julie, here's what I would say. All truth is God's truth, which is to say that if you look at Jude, Jude quotes from a book that's called Enoch. Though that book is not biblical, it contains truths that are consistent with the Bible, and therefore Jude is willing to quote it. And this is precisely why we are so delighted by a faith that has been handed over by the apostles to their disciples, and then from the disciples to each succeeding generation. This is what has been well described as the life of the Holy Spirit in the church. So truth gets passed on from generation to generation. Now, I've said this, I've written about this. I find the Bible to be the only infallible repository for redemptive revelation, the only infallible repository of truth. The church fathers, 100% of them were right 80% of the time. Their value is immense, but I've always said, test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. The next question by Corey, how much one-on-one time will we have with Jesus after his return? Will Jesus be omnipresent in his glorified body like the Father and the Holy Spirit are? Well, yes. Christ is omnipresent today, and he will be omnipresent in eternity. Now, I don't want to shout about things that I don't have requisite knowledge of. I don't know what my Father is experiencing right now in the presence of God. I know that he is being comforted. I know that he is in the presence of the Lord. I know that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and therefore we ought to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and we must run with perseverance the race marked out for us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. For in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted the point of shedding your own blood. And have you forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as son? My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. And sometimes he does that through sickness. Sometimes he chastens us. It's kind of like a plant. You know, when the pruning takes place, wow, it's painful, and quite frankly, it doesn't look so good. But then after the pruning, there's new growth. And I think all of us need to seek for that very thing. Now, these kinds of truths you can find passed on through the generations. So yes, in answer to your question, try to find those books and read them. Right now, I'm rereading, I think I mentioned this the other day on the broadcast, bears repeating. I'm reading a book by John Climacus, John of the Ladder, and I'm savoring each paragraph. I'm usually reading two or three books at the same time, but it's one that I go back to over and over again. So lots of great books. We ought to read more. Put down the remote. Read Dante. You know, read some of the classics. You will enrich your life so much. I mean, all this talk you hear all around you, we need the sounds of silence so we can meditate, we can memorize, and we can excise from Scripture the riches that the Holy Spirit has placed there. We are going to be taking some of your calls when we get back from the station break to get your question answered live in the broadcast today. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. You can figure out numerically 888-275-4265. But call me right now, 888-ASK-HANK.
For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense. And we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. All Christians, but especially ones in college, must know what they believe and why they believe it if they have any hope of surviving with their faith intact. The reason, according to J. Warner Wallace, is obvious. College is almost like an atheistic ambush. Christians often enter the university arena totally unaware of the danger until it is too late. And that's why Wallace has written Forensic Faith, a homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Randy, and I would be remiss if I didn't start this segment by simply acknowledging all of the prayers and messages that have been coming my way. I'm deeply grateful for those who are praying for me. I'll just read a couple of short ones. Michael in California, God bless you, Brother Hank. May God bless you and your family. Prayers sent for a full recovery. Some of you may recognize that I'm going to get my bone marrow biopsy test back tomorrow, so I'll be talking to the doctor about that tomorrow morning, and I'll pass the information along to you as well. Ron in Anaheim, California, I'll keep you in prayer. Diane, praying for you. Danielle, thank you for entrusting us. I'll be praying for you wherever he leads. May we follow. Kenny, thank you for what you do. My prayers to you and yours. One more, Keith, praying for you, Hank. You've been my mentor for 26 years. I hope we have 26 more, and I hope and pray that we do as well. But whatever the Lord wishes, I'm completely content with. I am enveloped as I speak in a blanket of peace. I have no anxiety. I don't profess to know why that is, other than the grace of God and your prayers. Another Facebook question, and then I will go to our calls. 888-ASK-HANK. Mendez, Mr. Hanegraaff, hope you are well. 13 years ago, I found your radio broadcast. It's been a blessing. At that time, I lived in California. Now I live in Mexico, and I still listen to your broadcast. God bless you, your brother in Christ. Well, I guess that wasn't a question. It was a testimony. But thank you very much, Mendez. Chris, I think this one is a question. Does Satan know he will be defeated? That is a very good question. And the answer is absolutely. He knows he will be defeated. I mean, you think about James, one of my favorite books in the Bible. The author of James says, you believe that there is one God? Well, good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. And then later on, in John's apocalypse, read the book of Revelation, we hear these words, woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. So does Satan know that he will be defeated on the authority of the Word of God? I can say yes, Satan knows that he will be defeated. Adam, how can your beliefs be the same now as codified in your books when you're operating with two authority structures now? Seems like a bit of a contentious question, but fair enough. I mean, I've said this over and over again. I've always believed that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. And I've always believed in what 1 Timothy 3:15 says. We often think of a lot of 3:15s, but here's a very important 3:15 to get into your head. It is 1 Timothy 3:15 again. What does Paul say there? Well, he's designating the church of the living God as the pillar and foundation of the truth. And what has been universally believed due to the scripture is that the life of the Holy Spirit in the church is a very significant thing that should never be overlooked. I think of the song we have sung throughout the ages, Faith of Our Fathers Living Still, and how wonderful that the faith has been passed down through the generations. But as I said in response to an earlier question, the truth of the matter is that while the faith has been handed over by the apostles to their disciples and then to each successive generation, the only infallible repository for redemptive revelation is the Word of God. That is what I've written in my books, and that is what I hold to today. It is why I memorize, meditate, and mine the Word of God on an ongoing basis. There are a lot of people that use these trite platitudes, and they're very, very good at saying these platitudes over and over again. But when you press them, they really don't know what they're talking about. And this is not said in a way of condemning. It is said in a way of exhorting people not only to be biblically literate, but historically literate as well. Let's go to a live caller. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Joey is calling from Houston, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Joey.
Hello. Thank you, Hank, for taking my call. Long-time listener. I just rediscovered you on the XM station, and so I appreciate your ministry there. And I had a question. I'm a pastor now, but I used to be a youth pastor, and I had one of my former youth from years ago call me and ask me a question that I didn't really have any background to know about indigo children. And so I'd appreciate your insight of anything that you have heard or seen about that. He's trying to be a witness to a young lady and received that as a response from her, and I didn't know how to steer him in the right direction. Thought maybe you would.
Yeah, this actually originated from the work of a parapsychologist named Nancy Tapey, and that back in the 70s, you know, the time of the flower children. And it's grounded in this pseudo-scientific New Age paradigm, which sets itself in direct opposition to a biblical worldview. And the idea is that there are people who possess exceptional, even, well, supernatural characteristics and abilities, and they can use that in the form of telepathy, paranormal abilities, and the like. And through that, we can progress on to the next stage in human evolution. Well, obviously, you're probably anticipating what I'm going to say next, and that is, this is absolutely not credible. But these are the kinds of things you can be dragged into if you are not familiar with the truth. And that, again, is why you want to be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit like this looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. I've often said that it's kind of scary. I've been at this for over 30 years, and I can't get to the end of all of the different permeations of the lie. Satan packages and repackages the lie ad nauseum, ad infinitum, and so trying to stay up with all of that is a fool's errand. What we ought to, however, know is the truth. Contrast is the mother of clarity. You find out the crooked stick by becoming so familiar with that which is straight, the straight stick of Scripture. And for all those people that are talking about such things as Sola Scriptura, let me say, in addition to the moniker, why not do the minimalist exercise in actually falling in love with the Scriptures by starting to memorize them every day. Brandon next, from Oregon, listening on the web. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Hank. I got a question on eternal security. What does it matter if the true Christian cannot lose his salvation? If he can't lose it, what does it matter the choices that he's making, and how does it affect his choices and the way he conducts his Christian life?
Yeah.
Basically, just get your perspective on eternal security and salvation.
Well, you know, you're raising a broad point here, and a very significant point. And that point I have talked about frequently on this show. The Christian faith should never be seen as transactional, which is to say that I have now prayed a prayer. I've got my card. I got the entrance card into heaven, and now I can live however I want. Well, there are a lot of faults to that idea. First, when you think about what Paul said, there's no foundation other than Jesus Christ. But on that foundation, you can build. You can build using gold or silver or costly stones, or you can build using wood, hay, and stubble. But the day of the Lord will reveal what kind of materials you used. And if you used inferior materials, they're going to be consumed by the breath of the Lord. You yourself will be saved, but only, says Paul, as one escaping through the flames, conjuring up images of people escaping burning buildings, but with nothing on their backs, nothing to show, no possessions in their hands. Now, we're not talking about temporal possessions here. We're talking about those treasures that we have laid up in heaven. That's why Jesus says, do not labor for those things that perish, labor for those things that are eternal. So true followers of Jesus Christ, what do? They reorder their lives based on the divine. How do they do that? They do that within a community of faith where the sacraments are properly administered, where the Word of God is properly taught, where we can experience oneness with other brothers and sisters in Christ as delineated in Romans chapter 12, where we can be equipped to go out and impact a lost and searching world. So we should never think of faith as a transaction, but rather as an active participation as co-consummators in the kingdom of our Lord, and that empowered not by might or strength on a human level, but rather empowered by God Himself. I mean, think about that. God empowering you to be able to do what you do. How does He do that? He does that by the graces that He makes available to us. Some of these graces are downright disciplines. And if we're not in a spiritual gymnasium, it's very, very hard to progress in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. More could be said, unfortunately, up against a heartbreak. Be back with the quote of the day and more.
If there is one gift I wish to give you, says J. Warner Wallace, it is the certainty that comes with loving and knowing the truth and developing a forensic faith. Wallace's latest book, Forensic Faith, will help Christians know what they believe, why they believe, and in whom they believe in order to stand in the battle for life and truth. Christianity is on trial, and the stakes are of eternal importance. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, a homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Because much of CRI's mission consists of equipping Christians with what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith, we think his new book, Forensic Faith, is a must-read. Wallace's book is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes good sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence for their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day from Metropolitan Philaret of Moscow. I'll try to make it through this. Quote of the day, this prayer, as it were, really touches my heart. O Lord, I know not what to ask of Thee. Thou alone knowest my true needs. Thou lovest me more than I myself know how to love. Help me to see my real needs, which are concealed from me. I dare not ask either a cross or consolation. I can only wait on Thee. My heart is open to Thee. Visit and help me for Thy great mercy's sake. Strike me and heal me. Cast me down and raise me up. I worship in silence Thy holy will and thine inscrutable ways. I offer myself as a sacrifice to thee. I put all my trust in thee. I have no other desire than to fulfill thy will. Teach me how to pray. Pray thou thyself in me. Amen. If there are more beautiful prayers penned by humans, I don't know many of them. This is one of my all-time favorites. It is the quote of the day. It'll be up on the web on our Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and another reminder in that regard that visit the Facebook page, like the page, and if you enjoy listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, give it a review. That can be part of your contribution to expanding the outreach of the Christian Research Institute as you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Remember, visit the Facebook page. It is the Bible Answer Man Facebook page that I have in mind here. We will try to cross-pollinate all the pages at some point, but it's the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. And remember the word like. It's a new one for me, but I'm getting used to using it. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Andrew, Kansas City, Kansas, listening on the web. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
Hey, quick question. Couple of us at church were talking about it. I think I heard about your forensic Christianity on the ad beforehand, but since you had kids growing up, I guess, what were some of the two or the three best ways you, I guess, could preach and keep and retain, you know, young adults, teenagers in the faith?
Yeah.
They have a tendency when they grow up to kind of wander off for a while.
You really have to model the Christian faith. I mean, if your kids see you as one thing in public and the other in private, it is the kiss of death. It is something that will repel them, particularly if you are supposedly an exemplar for the Christian faith. And I was in Singapore into last year and Hong Kong with my 13-year-old. I was also visiting my daughter Christina. But I had a speaking engagement in Singapore and then in Hong Kong. I had opportunity to have a dialogue or a debate with an atheist, and great to be able to visit my daughter, who's a Bible teacher now. And sometimes I think when I talk to her, she could probably do the show better than I could. She has just immersed herself in apologetics and in the Word of God. And why? She's seen my love for the Word of God, and hopefully, though I cannot transfer my faith to her, she has her own free will, she has seen the reality of the Christian faith, and now she's living that out in an exemplary fashion. So my son Xander, while we were in Hong Kong, it might have been Singapore, I can't remember exactly when he said this to me, but he did say to me, Dad, and he's 13 years old, smart, I mean, just gifted. But he said to me, Dad, if you were not my father, I would be an atheist. And that really pierced me, because he was pointing something out. Many kids his age are not seeing the authenticity of the Christian faith lived out. Where parents are, well, they're reordering their life, as I said earlier on the broadcast, around the divine. Where earthly things are wonderful as far as they go, but we have our sights set on something far more glorious. So what am I saying in that? Well, I'm trying to say what my son was saying. He was looking for authenticity. He wasn't looking for a deep well of knowledge. I know he appreciates that because he asks me questions all the time. And I'm always amazed at how he's remembered the answers weeks or months later. But he's looking for something authentic. He's looking for something that is not just a big wheelbarrow full of information, but a life. I was talking to one of my colleagues at the Christian Research Institute, and he reminded me of a quote that we think comes from Luther. I don't know if I can say it off the top of my head, but I think what he was saying to me is there is a cradle and there's an occupant for that cradle. The cradle being analogous to the Word of God. But we must never mistake the cradle for its occupant. That would be a serious error. And I think sometimes we mistake knowledge of Scripture for a relationship with Christ, a relationship that really means something. When you are in the midst of the cauldron of adversity, how do you react? Do you react in panic because your relationship with the Lord was based on a liver quiver, occasionally going to church, enjoying the show, being a consumeristic Christian? Or is your faith grounded in a relationship with the Lord? Well, when you are, as Spurgeon said, when you are in the refiner's fire, you find out whether your faith is just, a fad or something that can withstand all the fiery darts of the evil one, withstand all that swirls around you, and have a peace. Now, we're human beings, we're frail. I oftentimes say I have great faith in God, but I can tell you virtually every single day as I say, Lord, I trust in you alone, there's that little voice in the back of my head that says, you know what? Maybe so, but you trust a lot in yourself as well. And so I say, Lord, if there's any idol in my life other than you, if there's anything I'm placing my faith in, whether it's faith in my own faith, let that be gone, because I know that you alone are worthy of my trust and faith. Much more could be said. So many questions coming in. Let me go to a question. I don't know if this is a Facebook question. I'll get back to the Facebook questions tomorrow. Have some updates on where I am physically tomorrow on the broadcast as well. Please, I mean, if I'm taking these other questions, but please don't neglect calling me live on the show. It's a both and. It's not an either or. So keep calling me at 888 Ask Hank. David, excuse me. David is writing in, and again, I forget. Can't see what he's writing in on, whether this Facebook or not, but he says, Hank, you're definitely one of my heroes in the faith. Why did God honor the lives of so many great men in the Bible when they had more than one wife? I believe when the Bible tells us to have only one, we shouldn't have more than one wife. So why would God honor their lives? Hank, would God do that with a spiritual leader today? Wow, that is a... That's a complex question, a very good question as well. Look, I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Here's a plug for the ministry. Join our support team. I'll personalize a copy to you, a family member or a friend. But there's an entry on this. Does the Bible promote polygamy? Well, absolutely not. The ideal pattern of monogamous marriage, one woman, one man, was established early in Genesis. Remember the words. A man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. And that very passage was quoted by both Jesus and Paul in defense of the sacredness and exclusivity of monogamous marriage. A man and a woman. Not two men, not two women, not a party of lots of people, but one man, one woman. And then I would make the further point that the Bible explicitly condemns the polygamy of the Old Testament kings. I love the address. It's memorable. Deuteronomy 17:17. But it's not alone. The New Testament elders and the deacons are called to be the husband of but one wife. So just as the requirements for church leaders set a standard of morality and spiritual maturity for all believers, so I would say the admonition against polygamy for the kings of Israel demonstrated the danger of this practice for anyone that engages in it. The final point is simply this. God has disdain for polygamy. And that disdain is made manifest in the consequences of polygamy. The Old Testament clearly delineates the familial strife, the temptations that come along with doing this, with being polygamous. Of course, Solomon is the quintessential example. He had a legacy of faithfulness. I mean, I have memorized his Proverbs. They go over and over again in my mind. In fact, the quotation from Hebrews that I was quoting earlier, part of that quotation comes from Solomon. So he had a legacy of faithfulness, but that legacy was compromised because of his polygamous behavior. And despite his well-known wisdom, Solomon's peaceful and prosperous rule ended in idolatry. His wives turned his heart after other gods. So, bottom line, monogamy, not polygamy, is God's perfect plan. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apologies to those that I did not get to live on the broadcast today. Also, the Facebook questions I didn't get to. We'll try to get to more of those tomorrow. And once again, I'm deeply grateful for you standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.